All right, Father God, I just thank you for today. I pray that you work in our lives and all of us today. And I pray these men hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's get started, man. I want to talk to you guys about treasure and heart. And what is the treasure of your heart and some things along that line. But I got an interesting take on it. I'm going to read the Message translation. It's the story of the prodigal son. We're not going to read the whole thing because I'm really not focusing it on the love aspect of this. But the Message translation, since we've all heard the story of the prodigal son, the Message translation just had a nice little read to it. So I'm going to pick it up there. It's Luke 15, verse 11. It says, then he said, Jesus, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed up his bag and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined living, and he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine. And all through the country, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. Man, isn't that for real? He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to feed slop to the pigs. He was so hungry he would have even eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses, and he said, all those farmhands working at my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me back as a hired hand. And in verse 20, he got right up and went home to his father. So this is a tremendous story of sin and the way it entices our lives and pulls us away and God's forgiveness. I don't really want to focus as much on the love aspect as what's going on in the mind of this son. What's going on here? What is going on? So I want to just run through a couple of verses here. On here, verse 12, it says that the son says, give me what's mine. Well, I mean, where did that come from? I mean, he's been there. He's been working. You know, he's at his father's house. If you read on, when the other son who was still in the field found out that they're having a feast for his brother, he was out in the field working. So they're at their dad's farm, basically, and they're working along. And in order to even approach the father and say, I want my inheritance, something had to shift in this young man's heart. Something had to change. Now, the heart does not just shift on its own. It just doesn't do it for fun. It just doesn't wake up one day and go, hey, I'm just going to have a change of heart today because I just feel like it. Nobody does that. When we have a change of heart, it's because we had already a change of focus. We found something, saw something, looked at something, thought about something, dwelt on something that we did not have that we wanted, and it refocused our attention. That's what happened with this young man. He was no longer satisfied with where he was at. The father, the work, and the good that was and would be in his heart, that began to all just kind of sink away. And he began to think, there is something else for me. Now, that's not necessarily bad. You mean like Carl and I were talking in his life, there was something else for him, and it was Jesus. When Carl's heart refocused, it refocused away from religion and on Jesus, the person of Jesus. And Carl never went back. Amen. You know, so a refocus of the heart is not bad, depending on what you're focused on. So anyway, let's jump out of that. Into verse 13, it says, he left and went away. Now, where did he go? We don't know. He went off somewhere, but I guarantee you he didn't pack up his inheritance and leave for a war zone. He didn't leave for like a nuclear disaster wasteland where he's going to get, you know, certain death. You know what I'm saying? He didn't leave and say, well, there's famine over there. Let me go to the land of famine where I can starve and let me take my inheritance with me. No, he got up and left for what he thought was better. I mean, no one gets up and says, give me my inheritance so that I can go move down the road where my money will barely buy me anything and I can starve and die. No one's looking for that. So his heart refocused. He said, I want that. I want what my heart is focused on, and I'm going to go over there and get it. It's over there, and I'm leaving the position I'm in, and I'm moving down the street here. I'm moving across the way. I'm moving to where my heart's telling me to go. It's better over there. That grass is greener on that side. And it says there he spent his life on what satisfied the soul. Now let me just read through. It says it wasn't long before the younger son packed up his bag and he left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. I think it's important to notice he poured what he had in his hand, his finances, his resources, his time. He poured it into what satisfied his life. But that life returned him nothing. So every day he lived satisfied was a day closer to having nothing. He basically, let's say he spent a dollar a day and he had $1,000. Every day he lost a dollar and gained nothing for it. So no matter what, no matter how much money he had, whether it's a week's worth of money, I mean, he could have been gone 40 years. We don't know. I don't think it was, you know, four decades, but, you know, whoever. Whatever it is, it was going to come to an end. His soul may have been satisfied to an extent. Undisciplined, which means he wasn't having to follow any rules. He was getting to do things his own way. He was his own man. But eventually, no matter what, it was going to run out. So let's look at this. I'm going to just throw this kind of in there as a sad note. A side note. Let me say that correctly. It is sad, but it's a side note. Wrong living always robs from your future to pay for your present. It's not an exchange of goods. It's just a payment plan. Does that make sense? It's not like I got a house and I'm paying off my house, and then when I'm done paying off, I've still got my house. No. No, it's just a payment plan, and you get nothing in exchange. It's all temporary. It robs from your future to pay for your present. Anyway, verse 14. Man, this is so true here. He had nothing left, and then the famine. So the land he had left that was so beautiful that he was at, he said there's more. He went to what he thought was even better. He went to a different place. He was satisfied with his living. He was living undisciplined by his own rules. He had the money to do it, the means to do it, and it all ran out. And then when it ran out, there was even more tragedy that came. There was a famine in the land. The worthlessness of sinful living becomes clearest when your life becomes the hardest. I mean, isn't that the truth? That sin always seems awesome until your life turns to crap, and then you see what sin was really worth to you. Nothing. It always becomes clearest when your life becomes hardest. So he had nothing. He was empty, and that's when the tragedy struck its life. Man. You know, we all face that same temptation to look out at life. That's how affairs happen. Married people look out and say, there is something better. There is something more. And you see it. They'll get divorced and say, hey, you know, I know this is God's will, or God doesn't want me to do this, or somebody treat me like that. But then they sign on their divorce, and it's 2 weeks later, they're dating somebody. Well, that didn't start 2 weeks ago. That started months ago. That's why you got that divorce. Now, you may not have picked out the person you were going to cheat with, but in your mind, it has started looking for a greener land, and you decided to break commitments and walk away. We do that. We do that with church. We do that with jobs. We do that with all kinds of things. We all face that same temptation to do. I'm not saying we all do that, but we face that same temptation. But we all fall for that trick in little areas in our life. The temptation to be lazy, not pray, not read our Bible, not walk in love. Well, it seems greener pastures when somebody has just been doing you wrong and you know you're in the right. To just go on and just tell them you're in the right, just put a little Jesus slap upside their head. You know what I'm saying? Or you told somebody not to do something, they did it anyway. Just give them a big, I told you so. Not walk in love, not walk in mercy. You know, we all face that. It seems it satisfies the soul until the satisfying is done and the payment has to be made for what you've done. Anyway, get off that and move on. Matthew 6, 19. Let me read this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. We all face that temptation in our hearts. They begin to long for a reward. I mean, that's what's at the base of that. You know, if I want to lose my temper with somebody, I want the reward of putting them in their place. You know, if I want to walk away from my marriage, it's not because I'm saying, hey, let me divorce my wife so my life can be miserable. I'm just hoping it'll just be just the worst. Nobody does that. They say, I'm going to divorce my wife and my life's going to be better. I'm going to quit my job and my life's going to be better because I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to start drinking, start doing drugs, start looking at pornography. It's going to make me feel better in these areas, feel better in this way. No one does something that because it's a detriment to their life. They do things because it's a reward. And our heart begins to long for these rewards. It begins to value what it shouldn't. That's how we get out there. That's how this prodigal left. I mean, you got a place to work. You got an inheritance. Obviously, it's blessed. They got servants. They got plenty to eat. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was a 15-hand farm or whether there was a 1,000-hands farm. Whether it was the size of Abraham who had his own small army. I mean, I don't know, but obviously it wasn't a lack. It wasn't lacking, one falling apart. I mean, the father had an inheritance to give the son. A son that enough inheritance to provide for him for a while he just does nothing. So the son had to see what was better. But he didn't see necessarily that it wasn't any good for him. So let's move on here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. We hear this with the offering all the time, but it applies in multiple ways. It says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." No, I do not believe there are thieves in heaven. "So, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also." That they are located at the same place. That's how this works. Your heart determines your value or what you value. You know, Proverbs says, guard your heart above all things. Man, what a powerful scripture. Above everything you do, guard your heart. For out of it flows every issue in your life. Matthew Henry, one of the people I love to read, wrote a commentary on the Bible. And man, I know what, I'm just going to see if I got it written down. I'm going to pull that up and look at it real quick on my phone. Because I want to say it correctly. He just says it so well. And let me see. Man, I don't see it sitting right here in this note. I thought I wrote it down. It's all right. He said basically along the lines, he said 100% of the focus of a Christian's life should be the correct and righteous management of his heart and his mind. He said that is the life of a Christian, to manage his heart and mind correctly so that his life would align. Now, he means manage it with righteousness. Not just manage it any old way. But anyway, verse 21, where your treasure is, your heart is. I want to mention this. In verse 19, it says, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in. And moths, little things that eat away at your life. Little things. And you guys got some little things that eat away at your righteousness, eat away at your confidence in God, little sins. They're not like, hey, I just finally quit selling drugs yesterday. We're talking about little sins, overeating, being lazy, not praying, skipping some Bible reading time, dwelling on wrong thoughts. That's what the moths seem like. I'm sure there's some Bible scholar that can get in there and elaborate on this truth behind the moths. I'm not that guy. I'm just a moth. It seems like little things that gnaw away at your life. Rust. I liked this one when the Holy Spirit showed me this. Man, when you got rust, you got something like steel, like our building. It's held up by steel. I watched them put those steel beams in there. They hold hundreds of thousands of pounds, those beams. They are so strong. They're so solid. I mean, when they're laying on the ground, you got to hook a crane up to them because you can't put 15 men on them and move them. But drop those things in some salt water and let that rust take hold of them and give it a little while. And that beam that was so strong, that beam that could support so much weight, that beam that makes that building possible, given enough time, you can crush it with your hands when it's rusted. Because rust removes the strength, just eats away and corrodes stuff. You ever seen those old cars? You know, if you sit down in your car, you put your feet in your floorboard. You don't expect them to go through to the ground like some kind of Barney Rubble car down there. But you go to the junkyard and see an old rusted out car, you kick it. You kick your foot right through the bottom and see the grass below because it's rusted out. It's got no strength left to it. It's got no, it'll fall for anything. Bible says, lay up treasures where rust doesn't, where it doesn't steal the strength, the power of your treasure. And the last one were thieves. Man, I've talked about this before. Thieves, where you find your treasure stolen and you're left with nothing. What happens in your life if you've got these goals like this prodigal son? I'm going to move to this city. I'm going to move over there. I'm going to get me some hot women. I'm going to get me some liquor. I'm going to get me some tattoos and an awesome car. And we are going to party night after night. What happens when you finally achieve all you wanted to and you remain unsatisfied? What's it got to be like to be in your dream and found it not satisfying? Man, with your focus, your heart focused on a wrong thing, you will achieve it. You'll find it. You'll look at it. You'll lust for it. You'll want it. You'll think about it. You'll meditate on it. Like that woman, she's a better wife for me than this person, than my wife is now. Oh, she's prettier and all this. And you'll divorce your wife and have an affair and get involved with this woman and find yourself right back where you were. With the new woman of your dreams, quote unquote dreams, and you're out looking for another one while you're with her. It's because it's thief, just stealing, just dangling that satisfaction out in front of you, just stolen, because it wasn't real. The flesh can never be satisfied, by the way, just can't. So I want to take these two things about the where your treasure is and there's your heart also, take this story of the prodigal son and stick these things together. And I got a couple of questions then to ask you guys as I look across these things. What righteous things in your life did you used to treasure that you let go of for other things? What things used to be so important, so valuable, but now they're not as valuable? Things you used to be so passionate about, now you're just not so passionate. Distractions have come in, led you a different way. From word or from prayer or from living right or from focusing on correcting this area or this and that. And soon, our commitments that we made just turn into suggestions The promises that we made, they turn into options. As we begin to allow our heart to focus on some other things. And that happens to all of us. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't. The world and our own flesh start presenting us with lots of different options. You know, I could take the next 30 minutes and pray, but oh, look at the options. I could watch TV. I could play a video game. I could go to the store and spend some money. I could go to the gym. Even the gym, hey, that's healthy living. Let's skip this prayer day and go to the gym. I could get out my gun and I could clean it. I could do all kinds of things. But what's the real treasure there? I mean, when I'm done cleaning my gun, I've got a clean gun. But if I've taken the last half hour and I've prayed, what have I invested in my future? What attack have I set at bay? What strength have I gained that I didn't even know I need? I did not even know it, but I just stored up some food because there's a famine around the corner. See, the gun cleaning thought didn't tell you there was famine around the corner, did it? I did tell you there was famine coming. So that's what I wanted to throw out to you guys. Now, as I looked in this and I looked in my heart, I found a couple of things. A couple of passions that are not so passionate anymore. And I found a couple of fences that I've let some rust creep in and weaken some. I found some things I was pursuing that I don't pursue as hard as I should. And I found some things I was guarding against that I don't guard as well as I should. I said, all right, Holy Ghost, I see it. Now, one thing I learned in my life with dealing with pornography, Mr. Burton taught me this. He said, nobody just acts. He said, every decision you make in your life is for a payoff. It's always a reward. I go to work every day. Whether I hate my job or love my job is irrelevant. I go for some reason. If I love my job, I go for fun. If I hate my job, I go for money. If I hate my job, I go because maybe I'm, you know, it's just a means to an end. I'm trying to get to the next level, which is the job I love. I wore these shoes today. I wore these shoes because they do not have nails that stick through them into my feet. I appreciate that, so I don't wear shoes with nails in my feet. You know, every decision you make has a purpose behind it. Just like this prodigal son. He didn't ask for this inheritance, pack his bags and leave to go to a war zone. He didn't say, I wonder which country is about to fall to famine. Let me go there. He left because it was something better. I dropped some passions in my life. Hadn't let go of them, but I'm not pursuing them like I should. And if I'm going to be honest with myself, I can only say it's because I found something I found more valuable, but it really isn't. But that's the honest truth. I devalued a few things in my life that should not have been devalued. And that's no good. What I want to leave with you guys today is something we all have to do, and we all have to do often. We've got to examine ourselves. You need to look at your day from the time you wake to the time you sleep and say, does this thing line up with what I know to be righteous? And if it isn't, then you're going to have to call a foul. You have to blow the whistle on yourself. And you have to put yourself back in line. Excuse me, put yourself back in line. As I was studying this up, you know, last week, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about it. I said, all right, Holy Spirit, I got you. I got three areas. Three areas where it may be where I need to reinsert some passion. I need to get more passionate about back where I used to be. Or some areas where I need to keep my guard up like I used to. But I got three areas. I said, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm with you. It's time to start moving. Now, I believe I'm going to succeed in these areas because I actually have a plan. You say, Chad, What are you going to do about these areas? I say, well, all right, well, here's step one. Here's step two. Here's step three. I know what I actually have a plan. I didn't just recognize them and go, yeah. Okay, so what's next? I actually, all right, here's what's happening. Sunday night, here's what I'm going to do. Monday morning, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do about this. I have a plan. So it's not deep today. It's not this deep spiritual revelations about the origins of man and the Holy Spirit. And it's just that thing that all Christians must do. Like Brother Sam, you know, we all are born with flesh. You got to be born again. And part of that born again experience is looking at your life and saying, is it going the way it's supposed to go? So that's what I leave with you guys today. We'll talk about it. Is your life right? Are there some passions you've walked away from that you shouldn't have? And is there some guards you've let down in some areas that you need to start putting them back up? I got a couple of areas I got to start quoting some scriptures over. I got a couple of things Holy Ghost showed me. I said, Chad, you have not really prayed about this. You've not pushed back against some of these things. You have not really applied what you know to be true about quoting the word, about standing in faith in some areas. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Holy Ghost. You are right.